On the way next on 1400 K1, our community connection brought to you by Tallgrass Motors and by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
AM 1400 and 93.3 FM K1 and our community connection, as we often get to talk with the superintendent, typically on the Wednesday morning after a Monday night school board meeting. And Chuck McCauley in for us. School is in full swing. Classes are going on. The buses are running. And you have a new school board member. Good morning.
That's right. Good morning. Yeah, we're into this is day five for us, although it feels like we've been in school.
Whatever you say it is, I'll believe you. You know, it has been a staggered school opening as far as roughly about a two-week period between all the different school openings, and I don't keep track of which one started on which day.
I understand. We're off and running, Charlie, and we're off to a great start. And you're right. Yes, we do have a new school board member. That happened on Monday night. Nikki Benson, who has been on our board since 2010, she resigned around the July 4th holiday. She had bought a new home and moved. Fortunately for our community, she's staying in Bartlesville, but she moved into a different district. And when that happened, we opened up that position. And Monday night, our board appointed Andrea Nightingale. Andrea would be a great fit for our board. Her and her husband Chad both work for ConocoPhillips. Andrea is very involved in the community. She's co-chaired, I think, two or three of previous leadership Bartlesville classes. She's on the board at the Boys and Girls Club, and she has they have two daughters over at Ranch Heights Elementary. And I've told this a couple of times. She shared with us that last year she had a goal of attending all the parent the PTO meetings at Ranch Heights, and the one meeting that she missed, she was named the president.
Served you right for missing the meeting.
So we told her she better not miss a school board meeting. But seriously, we're pleased that Andrea has chosen to fulfill that term. So that happened at the board meeting, and we also were able to. And to go back on that too, those are truly appreciate people taking the taking the time to invest in that, because those are volunteer positions. You know, that school board and city council positions are volunteer positions, and really appreciate their service.
Just as I look at it, positions like the two that you mentioned, you're frequently open to criticism and rarely open for compliments.
That's exactly right. And I really appreciate our board's leadership. They really they do a great job for our community and really represent us well. And I think Andrea will be a great fit there. Kind of getting on into the board meeting, at the spotlight portion, our highlight there was Warren Neff. Warren is teaches at the high school. He teaches in our STEM program. He's taught math and science there. And Warren's been with us for 15 years. And this past year, he was named the District Teacher of the Year. We found out in July he was named as a finalist for the State Teacher of the Year, which there's 12 finalists. And I believe we'll find out next month on how that, on if he'll be the winner or not.
Mm-hmm. And so hopefully he will follow in the shoes of people like Mitsu Conover and a few other people.
Yeah. That's exactly right. We think that'd be well deserved. And Warren does a great job for us. LaDonna Chancellor, high school principal, introduced him. And it was interesting. She mentioned as she was spotlighting him when we hosted the state conference hosted by Joy Hoffmeister, state superintendent, was here, and her state department team. Part of that, they had students, and she interviewed them, and the students mentioned several of them mentioned Mr. Neff by name, talking about what a great teacher he is, and use him as an example. And so we're really proud of him and wish him the best of luck. So that was part of our board spotlight. In terms of action topics, of course, one, like I said, we appointed Andrea to the board, or the board appointed Andrea to the school board. And Nikki Benson was the board clerk, and so they voted to assign Allison Clark those duties. So Allison's our new clerk.
I got bothered all day by the alliteration, Clark the clerk. So
sorry about that, John.
It happens.
And then a couple of the other two action items that were in terms of were personnel related. The first one was it was the final step for our teacher pay raise, mm-hmm. and there's a process to go through. We bargain with our teacher association, and so that was done over the summer, and they came to each group has a team. They came to a tentative agreement. The teachers all voted to ratify it, and then our board approved it. And so what the results of that is our teachers. The pay raise for us ranges from a returning teacher. So if I was like last year, if I was a brand new teacher, and then this year I'm returning with a bachelor's degree, that person's base salary is going to increase about $5,800. It goes all the way up to step 30. If you have up to 30 years or more experience with a bachelor's degree, it's around $8,900. So a significant pay raise, and so that's a really exciting thing to get that. See that all the way through.
Yeah, and the district posts the pay scale on the website if you really want to look at it.
That's right.
To each, and it is somewhat interesting to look at once. Right. And I know you need to put it out there like bachelor's with 30, but
right.
typically if you've got 30 years of experience, you also have an advanced degree.
Right.
It doesn't 100% correlate, but it's close.
That's right, and we do have a different scale for folks that have advanced degrees, and we pay them a little bit more. Accordingly for that. So that was exciting, especially with all the talk this summer that was going on about the possibility of with the voter referendum option that was floating around. So I was very pleased the Supreme Court ruled that as not an option, and we were able to get that accomplished. And I know for a fact, I know that Gail Stone, who's president of the Education Association, she mentioned just people that she knew in her building, that there was, I think, three or four teachers that had already quit their second jobs that mm-hmm. they had. And so, and I know personally that speaking to teachers, there were several teachers that are staying in the profession, because that's enough to make a difference from their future retirement. I think it's going to help the retention side for sure.
I think, and of note, you mentioned during the board meeting that all of the extra dollars go into base salary as opposed to other computational forms. Most of the public probably will take no notice of it, but I know right. a teacher's retirement is based on that base salary number, so it is important.
Well, that's right. We mentioned that. We put all of the pay raise in the base salary, and I know we had a board member ask, well, what else would you do? Well, actually, that the state requirement is that it's in total salary, so some districts aren't able to do that. In other words, the employee's contribution, which is about 7%, that would go into teacher retirement. So that money would be going into their, if a district chose to do that, that means the teacher's not going to feel that in their check. It still would help their retirement, where we put all that money into their base salary, so they're actually going to feel that in their check, and it's going to count towards their retirement. So it's a boon. So we were able to fully fund the pay raise plus a step increase for our employees. So very excited about doing that for our teachers and also our support employees or our hourly employees. They also received a pay increase, which included a step increase plus the $1,250 pay increase that was included, that was passed as part of the last session.
Yeah, so a really positive board meeting for
yes.
you all the way around.
Yeah, that was good to get to that point, and that's why I was sharing with our board. It's really exciting, from a year ago when we were having the discussion about what that might look like from teacher salary. You know, actually the pay increase ended up probably better than what we thought it could be, truthfully, especially since what evolved into a year ago, you know, the step up plan was a $5,000 pay increase, which actually ended up better than that. So, mm-hmm. which that puts us regionally, in terms of regional states, that puts us second in the region. So that's exciting.
Yeah. Just a personal opinion. We haven't talked about this, but I'm just curious. I get the feeling that everybody is very pleased with what went on with this legislative session, but mm-hmm. also I hear undertones that the job isn't quite done yet. There's more to do.
Well, that's right. And so we've already submitted a proposal to the State School Board Association. And we're like I said, we're very grateful for the teacher pay raise. We think it's a great step in the right direction. We need to continue to stay competitive. That's the issue. You know, if you go 10 or 15 years without addressing that, you're going to get behind because other states are going to continue to move forward. So we need to continue to stay competitive. But really where the per pupil funding, those operational dollars, that's really where you're going to see a difference in the classroom. And that's where and when we talk about that, that's where we feel like that's where the next increase needs to go, because that's what impacts things like class sizes. Our class sizes still are about the same as they were last year. We were able to pay our teachers more, but it didn't improve that area. Also, academic electives, they've been caught. We've been fortunate here in Bartlesville. We've been able to protect our classroom the best we can in terms of opportunities. We still have, our class sizes have grown. However, we still have those options available for kids because we've seen those. I know I've talked before about the world languages. About a third of the high schools in Oklahoma don't offer a world language, which is sad. Also, many fine arts programs have been cut throughout the state. And we have not done that because of our strong community support with things like bond issues and also the Public School Foundation. But those academic opportunities, also for the classroom teacher, to make sure they have the tools that they need to be successful. Things like textbooks.
Right.
So that's where that operational funding. That's where you're going to feel that in terms of the day-to-day operations of a school. So that's what we need to continue to advocate for. We're about $750 million behind the regional average currently comparison. I don't think that's a reasonable ask to get to in a year, but we think over 3 or 4 years, the economy still goes well because we don't want to cripple, obviously, the state because there's other things to fund that are very important, roads, bridges, prisons, healthcare, those types of things. So, yes, we will continue to advocate for those operational dollars.
Talking with Superintendent Chuck McCauley on a Community Connection on 1400 K1. We'll get to some other issues like the school foundation when we continue in just a moment.
If you're suffering from a bad back, bad knees, need a hip replacement, call the Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, 918-494-9300. With a large number of only the best qualified specialists on staff, EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in Eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012 with a degenerative disc between L4 and L5. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process and which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
And again, talking with Superintendent Chuck McCauley on a Community Connection 1400 K1. And a lot of things going on. We've talked a lot about what happened with the board and with the state. But one great funding source for our school system is, of course, the Bartlesville School Foundation.
That's right. They do a great job for us. Blair Ellis is the executive director. She's been on this show with me, and I'll bring her back again.
Good.
They have donated in terms of large projects. They are funding the Project Lead the Way, the STEM expansion, our elementary schools. Mm-hmm. They've raised over $200,000 over the last 15 months to implement that curriculum, which has enabled us to, we implemented a computer science module at every kindergarten through fifth grade last year, and we're going to continue to expand that over the next few years. They had a fundraising event, a new event for them this past year on August 8th, mm-hmm. actually this month.
Yeah.
That was just this month.
About three weeks ago.
That's right. State of the Schools event, and it was a huge success. There was about, I think, around 225 people attending. We had it at the high school in the commons, and it was before school started, so people had the opportunity. We had many people come that wanted to come hear what was going on, but they also wanted to walk around the high school. They haven't had a chance to be in it, and it was a great event. I think the event raised over $22,000 for the foundation. So it's a great success. It's something that they're going to continue with. So I wanted to mention that as well. That's something they'll continue to do in August next year, mm-hmm. Before the start of school, before, you know, so people can have access, because it's a great opportunity, one, because all the proceeds go to the foundation. It's a great fundraiser for them. Secondly, to get an update on what's going on with our schools. And then thirdly, they get the chance to see the facility. And the timing was really great because we had football practice going on outside, and I think the band had just finished practice as well. So it was a good opportunity to see some kids as well.
And you didn't actually even schedule it that way.
That's right. It really worked out. So, and Blair will be on too soon. They're going to continue with some of their other fundraising efforts. I know the Teacher Hall of Fame breakfast that they have in the spring is a big event. They'll also have, this fall, they'll have another event in terms of an auction to help kind of kick off the fundraising for the launch initiative. And they do other things. That's the big initiative that they work on is that launch, but they also do grants for teachers, experts and residents, and so teachers have ways to apply for things to help them. So we're really appreciative for their support.
You rolled out the one-to-one initiative in the high school, and apparently it went very well.
It's going great. It's really exciting, and so I really need to commend Granger Metter and his team I know when I became superintendent, technology was an area we needed to improve, and a big part of that is we needed to have some leadership because there's an issue. You know, a lot of times your IT people, those folks speaking to teachers, it's almost like they're talking different languages. I mean, literally. So
I've heard the other side of it for years. Yeah.
And it's frustrating to everybody. So therefore, Granger's one of those unique individuals. It's obviously was a great teacher. I mean, he's a two-time district teacher of the year and understands the technology piece as well. So we're working through that process. So all of our high school kids now, they have a Chromebook device. We'll be rolling those out to our middle school kids next year. This year, our middle schools, actually all the English language arts classes, they have Chromebook carts in every one of those classes. And every kid takes those classes, so they'll be using those as well, which is a great opportunity for our staff to get up to speed on using the devices. We are using a learning management system called Canvas. And that's what takes time is training our staff. But we're using a learning management system called Canvas. It's the same thing that they use at the University of Oklahoma, UT Austin, A&M, Baylor, SMU, several Ivy League schools, really across the country. But what that is that's where teachers and students, that's where teachers post their assignments. Students can upload those assignments, those type of things, which takes time to work through. Because what we found, what Granger found actually as he was studying other schools, some schools simply, they would buy the devices, roll them out to kids, give them to teachers, you know, give a little bit of training on Google and say, here you go. And so what they found was some teachers were really successful with that and some were not. And so therefore it wasn't very, in terms of the implementation phase wasn't as successful as it could have been. And a big piece of that is that learning management system. So we're doing this. I'm really pleased about where we're headed with that program. And the most exciting thing to me is this levels the playing field for our kids. Every kid has a device, no matter whether they don't have to. I mean, it's assigned to them. And also, too, for our community to understand or to realize that, some people think about this as a real expensive device compared to a textbook, but actually the device that they're having is about the same cost as two textbooks. So if you think about it, you have six or seven classes, you're gonna have six or seven textbooks. Mm-hmm. And so some people get real excited about a device, something maybe happening to a device, and we probably also need to get real excited about something happening to a textbook as well, because those are very expensive as well. We've got some neat things going on at the high school too. Actually, we have a class that kids can enroll in that where they spend they fix devices. Mm-hmm. And so it, usually something's wrong with the screen or keyboard, and we have kids that are trained to fix those items as well, which is a great resource for everyone. Yeah. And it's a great experience for them as well, which kind of goes hand in hand. We have some other I'll mention just briefly. I want to brag on our computer science program. That's our cybersecurity class, which is a new one that we've offered. There's only 100 high schools in the country about that are offering that course through Project Lead the Way. And we have 13 kids enrolled in cybersecurity this year. It's actually in a beta form through Project Lead the Way, and there'll be a full implementation throughout the country next year. But it's really exciting, those kids, because what they do is they have a safe environment to learn how to hack. Mm-hmm. And so they can see what coding problems and what created those issues, because you can't really do that anywhere else without a fear of getting in trouble or breaking the law.
And so, again, we're trying to develop white hat hackers, somebody who'll right. go in and do you a favor and say, you got a problem here.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, they're going to have a full year of experience with cybersecurity. And so what a great opportunity in high school. We have about 150 kids enrolled in a computer, in one of our four computer science classes this year. We've had an additional staff member where it had to go receive some training so we could facilitate all those course requests. Jeremy Hanks teaches a cybersecurity class. He spent 40 hours up at CERN up in Kansas City, Kansas, working with their cybersecurity team through Project Lead the Way. Josh Wolf went down to Houston. He's a math teacher for us to get trained down there to learn about the additional computer science classes for him to offer. So really excited about those opportunities for our kids.
Yeah, it's going to be a great opportunity. And whether they choose to pick it up as a career or not, they'll still be a better, well-rounded individual.
That's right. Before I know, our time might be running short here.
I've got some flexibility. Go ahead.
Okay. Very good.
Not a lot, but
okay. Well, obviously, with the start of school, we have lots going on. Last night, I was at the high school, and parent night, and those will be happening over the next couple of weeks. So really encourage our parents to every school host those to come and meet their teacher and learn some more about what's going on. I know the bottom half of the Fine Arts Center was full last night, which it seats about 800. So
That's
I was
great.
Really pleased with that turnout. In terms of school activities, we have lots going on. You know, obviously, I know people are really excited about football with the start of that program. We're hosting a scrimmage tomorrow night. Tomorrow's Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a good opportunity for folks to just come out and see our kids participate, our kids play. Coach Blankenship, I've been to a couple events yesterday and heard him speak, and he mentioned 10th to 12th grade, we have over 90 kids playing football and another over 30 freshmen. So, and they practice together. So it's about 120 kids that are practicing. You know, when you combine that, if you come to a football game, you combine that along with our band program. Our cheer and palm. I mean, it's a great opportunity to see a lot of our kids at one time.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to compute the percentage, but I would say it's a likely to be a majority of the participants in programs overall.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Of course, in our cross country, they haven't had an official meet yet, but they've been practicing for weeks now. I know they went down and ran in a 5,000 race the other day, and they'll be kicking off here in terms of their school competition very soon. And they have, matter of fact, I ran into David Ayers at the high school yesterday, the cross country coach, and he mentioned they have over 100 kids running cross country, which is wonderful. Along with our softball and volleyball, those programs are. They've been playing now for a few weeks, so it's a great opportunity. And I mentioned this, Charlie, the other day at the Friday Forum to that group. But just as a reminder, any of our community members, if you live in Bartlesville and you're over 62 years of age, they can come to the Education Service Center and get a pass for all of our home events. And so that'll get them in free if they're interested in that. It doesn't work like if we're hosting a special tournament or a playoff game, but just a regular season. Like if you want to come to a high school home football game, they can come get a pass, and that's they'll laminate it. So it's good. It's good for life as long as they can hang on to that. So we would encourage their support. And our first couple of varsity football games, they're all both on the road.
Mm-hmm. I think you've only got
four this year. Yeah,
that's the way the schedules work about every other year.
That's right. Next year we'll have six, but this year we just have four. But I'm pleased that we have a normal schedule this year. You know, we've had some folks are having to play that 0 week, which means they have a bye week at some point in the season. So. Wanted to mention that we'll start next week, that Friday before Labor Day, and have 10 games in a row. Like I said, the first couple of games are on the road, and that week three will be at home. So really encourage people to get out and support our kids. There's some great things going on with our program.
Thank you so much. Our conversation this morning with Superintendent Chuck McCauley on A Community Connection, 1400 K1, brought to you this morning by Tallgrass Motors and by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center.
It's the 13th Annual Day of Hope from 10 to 2 at Spirit Church this Saturday.